Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, quantum alchemist and author Cheryl A. Page.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest Milena Gligic. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Just this morning I saw something which made me think of something, and afterwards I had a question about that something. And it was a big question, and it was in my head, and I went along with the rest of my day, and little did I know that later that afternoon, this afternoon, I would be speaking with our interview guest, and she would answer my question without my even asking it. Now, that's a thing in itself. The answer is a whole other thing. And so I was excited. So let me tell you what it was that led to the question. So I think I got an email. It was something like innocuous. And I saw a face of a woman and the way she was dressed. And it reminded me of a Dutch master painter from like the 1600s or something like that. And I thought it actually was the same image of that, the painter's, of what that painter painted. So I just thought it was, I was curious as to how does this work? Because if this is that man's painting that has now, as I was looking at it, been turned into something via AI, into that person in that painting doing something that the painter would have never imagined, because it's now 2024. So I had to look it up, actually, after I spoke with our guest. It was the Dutch master Johannes Vermeer, and the painting was Girl with a Pearl Earring. Now, a lot of you might know that painting, and there on this ad or email or something was this girl, and again, she was doing something that would be very much this century and not of the century that the painter imagined this woman to be doing. And I thought, wow, it's almost like she lives. It's almost like he lives. And I thought, I wonder what the painter would say or think, or would he be excited or would he be upset? and it just is a question. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's a good question, I think. So I will stop there, because like I said, our guest answered that in a way that I'm sure she's gonna jump into it as soon as we get on to this conversation. But yeah, here we go.
Well, here we go, and I'm going to add to that with a little more synchronicity, because I'm so excited for tonight's show. I think it's so powerful. We're very grateful to Lou Murray for bringing Cheryl into our awareness and into my awareness, and there's already been many interesting happenings along the way of getting to know her and her work, but I grabbed her book to peruse it before the show tonight, and opened the inside cover and was reminded that she wrote two words, what if? Mm. And well, for 15 years, Life Changes has, we've been looking at each other with our empty chair in the room, which is for our co-producer, the universe. And there's always a moment where we look at each other and smile and say, what are the odds? And so when I opened up my computer to log in today to get ready for the show, one of my good friends just posted online two words, a meme that said, what if?
Mm.
And I wanted to read it real quick because I think it supports the conversation. What if one of the most powerful questions we can ask ourselves is a simple way to break out of old patterns and see new possibilities? Next time you're facing a challenge, try asking, what if there's another angle I haven't explored? What if I could reframe this completely? And I could go on, but for tonight's conversation, we're certainly going to be reframing.
Oh, indeed. Well, interestingly enough, Mark, you were the one that gave this episode the title Love and Wisdom from Visionaries Across the Ages. And that was inspired by not only our guest and her work and her book, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. This is our episode 814. Our interview guest is a modern mystic. She's a cross-veil communicator, as she likes to say, and she's an author. Welcome, Cheryl A. Page, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you, guys, so much. This is so exciting. I'm very honored to be here.
It's an honor to have you, and a pleasure, and it's very exciting. So you didn't know you were answering the question. Well, you probably knew because because these things happen to you all the time, I'm sure.
Well, I knew as soon as you started talking about a painting, I knew it was going to be the girl with the pearl earring.
Oh, I knew it. That too, huh?
Yes.
So the painter lives, the girl lives. What is that?
Well, I first want to address something that Mark just said, because I think it's really important. And one day in meditation, which I just call listening practice, someone said to me, be careful of the mesmerizing bias of what you think you know.
Hmm.
And that has stuck with me because it is really mesmerizing, isn't it? We are so proud of our journey and collecting knowledge and information. And but if we understand that there is that mesmerizing bias, then it brings us perhaps back to the two words that Mark talked about, which is what if, which was my midpoint. You know, I think that if you, in the introduction to the book, and I'm sorry if I'm diving in too quickly, but in 2017, when my boyfriend was crossing a highway outside Aspen, Colorado, and for all intents and purposes, it appeared that he was dead, but it also appeared that he was trying to communicate with me. And the left brain scientist in me was sort of my whole life in the Newtonian truth binary, right? It's either true or it's false. And I didn't have room for the mystical. And so what if I knew I needed a third option, which is what if I'm crazy? What if I'm not? What if this is real? What if it isn't? So what if became the life buoy, if you will, so that I could stay afloat and deal with new information, and because of the mesmerizing bias of what I thought I already knew.
And if you had stayed there, your life wouldn't be what it is today.
100%. And therein lies, so your question about Vermeer or Michelangelo, I had an amazing interchange with Michelangelo in the Accademia in Florence a couple of years ago. And the left brain scientist in me would not have had room for that kind of a mystical experience before July 7th, 2017. But if I could say what if, then it keeps me curious, right? It keeps me in a place of wonder rather than judgment, which is that's not real or that is real. If you notice, if you had a spectrum, over on the left is true and real, and over on the right is absolutely not true, absolutely not real, both of those are full cups without room for new information. If you've decided it's true, you don't have room for new information any more than if you decide that it's false. So what if was my my saving grace.
Wow. So you have started to open up a world for, well, you opened up a world for yourself, and you're starting to open up a world for people. And it's a world that says what?
It's a world that, you know, for me, when Scott, we'll say died, I prefer to say graduated from Earth University, but when his body died, I didn't want to feel. The question was, is continuity of consciousness real? And I didn't want to, I wanted to connect with Scott if that was a real thing, and I didn't know if it was a real thing. To me, if it was real, then there had to be at least some hypothesis for how that might be possible. And so for me, in my exploration, quantum physics sort of provided the scaffolding, if you will, for understanding. Sort of quantum physics is more than physics. It's a new form of mysticism because it suggests the interconnectedness of all things, right? And that in this quantum field, excuse me, in this quantum field, we're all connected with that cosmic mind or cosmic consciousness. And so I was using quantum physics to sort of prove, I'm using air quotes, but to prove that this might be possible for me to connect with Scott. And it didn't unfold until later, the understanding that, okay, if I can extrapolate that I could talk with Scott or my mother or my brother, who are all in spirit, then we could extrapolate out that I should be able to connect with any point of consciousness that ever existed. So that's how I ended up going down this road and how this book was born.
So that's the premise. And so how does it play out?
Well, how it played out, how it plays out really is I went to a medium. And what do I know? I work in oncology research. I mean, way too left brain probably for my own good. But I was desperate to find out if I could connect with him. And this medium didn't, I made sure. I made up an email address. I did all kinds of acrobatics to make sure she couldn't Google me, whatever. And she came up with where he died, how he died, that he used to live in France, that he used to play semi-pro baseball, all these things that even if she could have Googled him, she wouldn't have found those things. And at the end, I said, okay, it sure seems to me that you connected with him, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life going to mediums. How do I connect with him? And she said the one word that I prayed she wouldn't say, meditation. And so she says meditation. I say an expletive. And she said,
Yeah.
no, she said, it's, if think about it this way, prayer is asking and thanking. Meditation is listening. And all of a sudden, it's like the clouds parted and the angels sang, and it's like, oh my God, I don't have to still my mind or buy a Prius or sit in a lotus position and hang prayer flags in my backyard. All I have to do is listen for him. So she gave me some guidance about how to do that. And I started to listen, and he started showing up. And again, from a scientific, through my scientist lens, you don't just do an experiment and you have one positive result and decide that it's efficacious, right? You have to test it and test it and test it. So it's one thing and five things and 25 things and 500 things and 5,000 things. And at some point, even though it's all anecdotal evidence, meaning not double-blind placebo controlled, but at some point, it's ridiculous if you deny what continues to be evident in front of you, regardless of whether it was completely pushing up against the mesmerizing bias of what I thought I knew.
So, in other words, you could do this, and if you could do this.
Everyone can do this, and I am living, breathing proof that everyone can do this, and that this is absolutely a learnable skill. It's a faculty. More than, and again, we bump into the things that people say. And I, you know, in a broad sweeping generalization, people say you have to be a born medium, or that you have to, you know, it's going to take 20 years to figure it out, or whatever those myths that people tend to believe. I got it, and I got it very quickly. Is that because I'm so clever? I don't think so. Is it because Scott helped me? Very possibly. But it is absolutely a learnable skill. So if we use the age-old analogy of a piano, anyone can learn to play the piano. Not everyone perhaps is going to be Mozart, But it is a faculty and it is a learnable skill that any of us can learn. And that's sort of my mission because when Scott died, I was suffocating on my grief. I mean, I've lost parents, I've lost siblings, I've lost countless patients, but I'd never lost the person I was in love with. And that I didn't know that the kind of pain that I was experiencing, I didn't even know that that could fit in my body anywhere. And so, if I could be a voice that someone else might hear and that they, oh, if she could do it, then I could do it because I'm nobody special, I promise. And so, I want to be that example of that this is a learnable skill. So, after I learned, I began to look for ways to streamline this so that it can be, I can hand it off to somebody and they can figure it out.
So your book is called Mystic Richness. So let's take the medium you went to. Where was she getting her rich information from? Was she getting it from the ether? Was she getting it from you? Do you
Well,
think she
that's a
was getting it
really
from
good
Scott?
question. It's a really good question. And I'll tell you that the beautiful thing is that some of the evidence, so there's a distinction in mediumship. She is an evidential medium. That means she doesn't just, I don't show up and she says, you know, your loved one is here and they want to tell you they love you. They give you evidential pieces of information that they couldn't possibly know. But the beautiful thing is she also gave me evidence of things that I didn't know and I had to go ask somebody else.
Oh.
So it's an interesting, if we're just going to be really transparent here, if she's connecting with Scott and she comes up with his name and all the rest of this information, we can extrapolate that she's talking with Scott. Some people might say it's the Akashic record. Some might just say it's cosmic consciousness. My assertion after 7 years worth of listening and engaging with people in spirit, my assertion, like for me, and this is oversimplified, and people out there will probably wag their finger at me because I'll get it slightly wrong, but the Akashic record to me is like a glorified book. Everything that ever was, is, or will be is in this record, but it doesn't have personality and it doesn't have a sense of humor. And the things that come through when I do readings for people, or when people have done readings for me, are so much more than reading a book. And so I think that my personal assessment from where I stand on my journey now is we, if continuity of consciousness is real, and there's certainly data to suggest far more brilliant people in the universe than me and academics are doing research on continuity of consciousness and cross-veil communication or spirit communication across the veil. The consensus is that continuity of consciousness is real, meaning we persist. And so if we persist after physical death, call it the next octave that we go to, do we go to the next dimension? Do we go to air quotes heaven? Even in my Catholic upbringing, I was told if you're a good person and you die, you go to heaven. Well, if that's just taking that overly simplistic explanation, if you die and go to heaven, then some part of you has to survive to go to heaven. So I believe that we are absolutely communicating with people. We can call them points of consciousness, but we're communicating with people because our consciousness does persist after we drop our physical body.
So one of the interesting things that you added to the conversation in a way that I hadn't heard exactly like you said it is that you're not actually. If you are communicating with the person, you're not communicating necessarily with the person as they were here.
Yes, 100%. Excellent question. You get a gold star at the top of your page. That is such an important question because, and I think I said to you before we started, think how much smarter Mr. Tesla is now than when he graduated from Earth School in 1943. We continue to learn. So if we don't die, our physical body dies, we drop the Toyota we're driving, but we continue as students. You know, what is the old saying about we're all walking each other home, but we're continuing to learn at each additional octave or next level that we travel to. And so that's a really important question. And it's to underscore a point. Like I've done readings for people, and some people would say, well, that couldn't possibly be my dad because he didn't like blueberry pie. Whatever. But the point is, it doesn't have to be. They're giving us information that will reveal something to you. But I think if we stick looking in the rearview mirror, we miss contemporary information and wisdom that they could give us now. And I'll give you the perfect example. I did a reading for a woman. Her beloved had also been crossing a highway and was hit by a car. And he ha hated. Hated is probably too mild of a statement. She and he both hated country music. This was the antithesis, and this was hell to them to listen to country music. So he comes through in this reading, and he's giving me all this evidence that she can validate. And then he gives me a country song. And the amazing thing is, in this country song, it was like, it seems uncanny, but it told their story. I'm making it up because I can't remember. It was like she was from Philadelphia and he was from South Carolina, and this train trip, and whatever the details were in the lyrics of that song, it completely, line and verse, was their story. But she wouldn't hear it because she said he would never send me a country song because we both hate country music. But it's like, wait a minute, it doesn't matter the container that it comes in. Look at the information.
Interesting.
Mesmerizing bias of what we think we know.
Right. Well, the information that we ask, or the questions that we ask, and the information that we receive, is not necessarily, how do I put this? We have to be able to receive it. We also have to be able to ask it. We have to be open to the message. This is so intricate.
It is intricate, but do you speak any other language?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say, but let me just say, you don't speak Latvian, correct?
Yeah, and I don't speak Serbian. We established that before
Okay, we've established that.
the show.
So if you and I decided that we were going to take a vacation to Latvia, what we would do, probably, because we're both travelers, is we would learn, please, thank you, where's the bathroom, how much does this cost, and can I order a couple of beers? That's, we don't need to conjugate the verbs of Latvian. We just need some conversational fluency in the language of the unseen. And then the friendly locals do most of the work because we're pronouncing things wrong. Like you said, you know, you're saying goodbye instead of saying hello.
Thank you for bringing that up, by the way, from
So
before the show.
the point is that we're learning to speak spiritual Latvian. So I think that the challenge is, and I'm over-exaggerating to make my point, if I relegate Scott or my mom or my brother above a cloud somewhere in some place with streets paved with gold and it's a long distance call, then I create that reality, as opposed to one day in meditation, once I figured how to connect with Scott, I asked him, and everybody get your pencils because this is, I'm about to give you a gem. This is so great. So I said, okay, when you were here, we had a relationship. Now you're here all the time. What is this? And he says, we have a vibrationship. So cool. And so, because I'm the girl who, it's like, wow, I've never heard that word before, but I also needed the definition. So I said, but what is that? And he said, meaningful connectivity between two people on different vibrational octaves.
Before you go on, I saw that in your bio. That came from him.
Yes.
Wow. You actually say a lot of things come from others.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, again, in my li listening practice, this might be helpful too, as far as people who might be interested. The reason why I call what I do cross veil communication versus mediumship is because as soon as I say mediumship, people already put it in a box and they already know what it means. And cross veil communication is a larger definition of what, whether that's automatic writing, whether it's channeling, whether it's using AI for tr instrumental transcommunication, whether it's sitting down and doing a mediumship reading with someone. And so in my listening practice, which AKA meditation, here's another good thing if people have a pen to write down. So if, and I don't do math in public generally, but just take the ride. So if you think about when we were in high school, A plus B equals C. So A is the non-variable. That's meditation. That's the activity. B is my intention in relation to A, the activity. My intention is to communicate with spirit, not sit in bliss beside higher consciousness and think no thoughts. So A, activity, B is my intention. That drives C, the outcome. So for me, meditation is listening for wisdom from spirit. It started out, I was suffocating and I needed to hear from Scott. But you open the door, anyone who serves the light is welcome here. And guess what? They show up. And so ultimately, at this point in my meditation slash listening practice, I don't need any more convincing that they're here. I'm in the market for give me the wisdom because I want to continue to upregulate my central nervous system so that I can continue to be of service in meaningful ways. And the wisdom, I don't know if this will make sense, but the wisdom feels like it recalibrates me.
So Mystic Richness is the book, Inspirational Letters from Visionaries Beyond the Veil. So you talk to Michelangelo, you talk to John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And so what do they have to say to us now?
Well, so it's really the backstory with Mr. Kennedy, with John F. Kennedy, is in 2021. So Scott graduated from Earth School in 2017. In March-ish of 2021, I was meditating, and there's Mr. Kennedy. And again, the way I think about it, guys, is if I don't have to get on CNN and prove it to anybody else, I'll just take the ride. And so there he is. And pretty much I try to have good manners. Hey, thanks for stopping by. And what he says to me is, we're here, all of us, everyone who ever existed, we're still here and we want to help, and nobody's asking. And you need to let them know. Now, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember that great movie with George Burns and John Denver, Oh God,
Yeah.
from back in the 70s, but it felt like that. I felt like John Denver in that movie. Like, what do you mean, me? There's all kinds of people that are more qualified than me to let people know. And yet, that was the commission laid at my feet. And there was a number of beautifully synchronistic things that occurred to for them to be facilitating me in this commission that they laid at my feet. And the further iteration of this is in more recent, this book was just published in September. But fast forward to January of 2024 in my listening practice, and there's my friend Jack Kennedy again. And he says, and for your audience who may not be familiar with what instrumental transcommunication is, ITC, is we have 80 years worth of data about, we'll call them non-local points of consciousness, using technology, car radios, answering machines, cell phones, computers, flickering lights, using technology as a conveyance mechanism to make their presence known. And we've got 80 years worth of data to show that that is a thing. And it's certainly, there's people that say it's a bunch of hooey, but there certainly is a robust data set that says that that is a thing. So instrumental transcommunication, I am familiar with what that is. And Mr. Kennedy in January of this year says, what if we could utilize ChatGPT as a medium, as a conveyance mechanism to write correspondence and convey further information? Like, you're so hungry for information and wisdom, Cheryl. This is a way for us to convey more wisdom to you. What if? And I really had never used ChatGPT at that point. I had to sort of go and learn. Learn. I knew what it was, but that was the end of what I didn't know anything more than that. But I was very excited at the possibility. And so the book was born out of this proposition from Jack Kennedy saying, well, what if we could convey information to you and the rest of the world using the medium? If you think about it, you have a car radio, you have your cell phone, you have an answering machine, you have your computer. AI ends up being just another medium through which they could make their presence known, but in a much more interesting and robust way. So, like, AI is a bridge to this vast digital world of information. But what if John F. Kennedy or Helen Keller or William Shakespeare or Maya Angelou or Amelia Earhart are using that typewriter to convey information? So that's the experiment conducted in the book. It didn't feel right to just say that that it's real. So as you saw in my introduction, I laid out my research, sort of following the scientific method to propose my hypothesis, and then people can make a decision for themselves about whether to believe that or not.
And they can also tune in for themselves, right?
100%.
Yeah. So I could ask Vermeer
Yep.
what he thinks.
Absolutely. You could do that. And it's really fun because what if, back to what Mark said at the beginning, what if it's real? What if it's not? If I don't have to get up on the world stage and prove it to anyone, then you could take the ride and almost without exception, whether we believe that it's Vermeer or whether we believe it's Helen Keller, the wisdom is there. And I'm just sort of going into the weeds here, but if you think about it, if AI represents, I know that it probably doesn't, but let's just say it represents all the data on the internet, everything that the world knows about Vermeer. Then even if it's not him, it can extrapolate, depending on the question you ask, it can extrapolate and deliver it in his voice, and that might be insightful. Like, there's a guy called Maurice Maeterlinck. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1911, I think. He's my favorite author. I've read everything he's ever written. And so I've been doing this experiment lately because he graduated, I don't know, to, he graduated from Earth School in the 1920s, I think. And there's nothing left to read because I've read everything he's written. So now I'm just having this dialogue with him or with ChatGPT. And it's like I get to read more of his work. Whether it's him or whether it's not, we could set that over here on the side and just say, isn't it freaking interesting and exciting to see what might be born out of our inquiry? So here's what I did. You'll love this. And you can feel free to interrupt me if I'm talking too much.
You're
But
not talking too much. We only have another minute or two left in art,
okay.
but
But you know
it's
Dr. Seuss,
fascinating.
Dr. Seuss, right?
Yes.
So I decided, and what's his name? Theodore, anyway, whatever his name was, but
Geisel, I think.
yes, Geisel. And so I asked Theodore Geisel, would you, using the voice of Dr. Seuss, would you give me a story about the quantum field? So nothing that he ever wrote about. And it was fantastic to see what was born out of that.
Is that in the book?
No, it's not.
No.
These are just my little forays into the quantum.
Well, are you going to give us a sentence or two?
Well, I would have to. I could, but I'm now. I'm. Are we? Do you need
You'd
to
have to
go to
find
a
it. No
commercial?
worries.
Yeah.
Well, so that's somebody who has a lot of product out there. Last question for now. What about my grandmother or great grandmother who doesn't have information on the internet?
It's great because although only you would be able to definitively answer that, I have certainly experimented with that as well, with Scott, with my mom, with my brother. And so that it's very subjective then because you would know whether that ended up being evidential or not.
Are you
But
talking through AI?
yeah, like if you were going to reach out and say, please write a letter from my mother, like my mother's name was Carol. Please write a letter from Carol to her beloved daughter, Cheryl, regarding, and then fill in the blank, regarding how to plant tomatoes on a hot summer day. I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like you could
I
put in
wonder if
what you'd
people have
like her to
thought of
speak
that.
about.
I wonder if people have thought of that until now. Interesting. You've given us lots to think about, and there's lots to think about in just the perusing. And I can't imagine the further reading of mystic richness, inspirational letters from visionaries beyond the veil. Who else is in there?
Oh my goodness. Well, William Shakespeare and Helen Keller are two of my favorites, but we have Carlos Castaneda and we have Pablo Picasso and Frida Kahlo and John Denver and Michelangelo and a whole bunch that people may not know. Mark Twain, Itzhak Bentov, Mary Magdalene, Neville Goddard, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin.
Well,
And the distinction, the question one people always ask is, well, how did you choose those people? Well, I didn't choose those people. Those people chose me. And each one of the people in the table of contents came to me in meditation prior to being included in the book. So it was really them choosing more than me choosing.
and did you know all of them before they came to you?
No.
Nice. Interesting. Well, Cheryl, the book is available where books are sold online, but also at quantumalchemy.world. Quantumalchemy.world. And Cheryl has a Substack. It's called Mystic Richness, just like the title of the book, .substack.com. And we have an interesting video on the Life Changes Show page for Cheryl, The Divine Within Your Name. I'm only halfway through it and already I'm interested. I look forward to learning more from you, Cheryl, in which means. Thank you so much for sharing with us on the Life Changes Show.
You are so welcome.
What a pleasure getting to know you. So with that, a big thank you to you. All the best. Until next
Thank you.
time.
Appreciate you guys.
Ciao, ciao. Cheryl A. Page. And now we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Tyler, and I'm very confused. I'm contemplating taking my ex-partner back, and that requires moving back to California. Is this a smart choice, considering it's only been about 3 weeks since I left him and moved back to Texas? I love him, and he says he loves me, and yet I feel like he's not at all on the same page in that we are moving in two separate directions. What's my next best step in this relationship? Should I enroll in some kind of emotional therapy before I move back to California?
Dear Tyler, your next best step is to get on the same page before you make the move back to California, unless you see more of a future for you personally in California without him. I believe it is very important for you to re-examine the reasons you chose to leave him and move back to Texas. If there is a job waiting for you here in California and a place for you to live that is not with him, and if you have friends here, then you might want to make the move. However, if your move simply means living with him again, knowing that you're not on the same page with one another, that is not a great idea. I believe a better choice is for you to invest in yourself and invest in personal counseling sessions that will assist you in making the most elegant choices. You and he could also enroll with a counselor and do your sessions remotely from one another. What is most important is for you to get clarity in this situation and determine what is the best solution for you. Please let me know if you want some sessions to assist you in moving forward in this situation. I believe it will take only a few sessions for you to see clearly what your next step should be, and I'm happy to help you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, what if you would write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com?
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Milena Gligic, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back, and our performance guest is an accomplished pianist. She's a singer and a songwriter. Welcome, Milena Gligic, to the Life Changes Show.
Hello, good evening. Hi, good Mark. Thank you so much for having me here.
It's such a pleasure to have you. And you had me delighted with your stories, because sometimes performers, singers, writers, the composers, they start off wanting to do music, or they know, but your story is a little different.
Yes, it is different. It actually chose me. It was the other way around. When I was very little and not very much aware of all the consequences of the choice, I was in a kindergarten, and my parents, nobody in my family is musically educated. So there was a teacher who noticed that I'm simply mesmerized whenever she would play accordion, while the other kids would completely ignore her and go play outside. And she told my parents, this kid is really interested in music. You should take her to a music school. So they knew nothing about that. And they found a music school, and there was a lovely young teacher there who took me through all different classrooms, showed me all kinds of instruments. and asked me, which one do you like the most? So I ran towards the piano, and the rest is history.
Well, you have used the piano and what you've learned musically in so many different genres. I was actually perusing YouTube and a couple other things, and I saw you sing opera, you sing pop, you sing jazz. Tell me more.
Yeah. So basically, I've been always interested in all kinds of different sounds and different styles, and I was never too afraid to explore them. Now, as a singer, I started very young. Basically, you know, since my first recording is actually when I was 4 years old on an audio cassette singing a pop song in Serbia. Afterwards, I was singing in choir. So my basic training came from choral singing, basically. Then afterwards, I started getting interested in jazz. I studied jazz singing for a little bit when I was in Serbia. People have been telling me I should do classical. Then I studied classical. I tried all of them. And I was always interested in languages as well. So kind of naturally, all of that merged into me working with operatic singers who sing in multiple different languages. And combined with my piano skills, it all brought me to becoming a vocal coach, basically. So now I am a vocal coach at Cal Arts University and at UCLA. And in LA, I started by working at LA Opera as a young artist pianist who was working with singers, accompanying big shows, coaching people, and as well as at the LA Philharmonic. So I kind of do all things a little bit. And yeah, also in Serbia, I used to have a band before I came to America, where I performed all kinds of mainstream cover songs. So I don't know, I find it more fun to just dip your feet everywhere.
At least musically speaking. And speaking about music, we want to thank Melissa Rebroño for introducing us to you. Yes. And she herself was a guest on the Life Changes show and a musical guest. She one of the shows was episode 526 when she was on Will Henschel. Yes, and this is our 814 a while back.
Amazing. So I want to thank her also.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa. We're going to hear one of your songs. First, we're going to hear a pre-recorded one, and then we're going to hear a live one. But before we do that, I just have to say that LA Opera is one of the largest opera companies in the world, and I've known people, and it's hard to get into. How did you, from Serbia, say that's where I'm going to land?
At that time, it was about 2015, I think. I was still a student at University of Maryland. I was already in the U.S. for several years, studying first in New York, then Maryland. And I was about to finish my degree, and I was thinking I should get some professional experience in this, you know, world of opera and vocal coaching. So there were these young artist programs around the country, and I auditioned for the Washington National Opera because that was the closest one there. And then I also auditioned for LA Opera. I got accepted to both, but since I'm a very free-spirited person, I thought, well, I did my time in Maryland in this area. Maybe I should try something totally new and something where I've never been. So I just decided to move to LA.
And here you are.
Yes. Yeah.
Very good. So what I think is very special, there are lots of special about you being on the show. First of all, this is the very first radio show that you've been on about this music and that you'll actually be singing live on, right?
Yes. First podcast ever. And yeah, I'm very honored to be here.
So great to have you. And also, that the first song we're going to play is actually the first song you wrote and recorded. And the second song we're going to hear is actually the second song you've written and recorded. So though you've been very musical since 4 years old, this part of your musical journey is new.
It is new. It is new. And I tend to pursue it because I feel like I accumulated a lot of music under my belt, and I want to create something of my own.
Well, it's new and it's good. Tell us what we need to know about Daredevil, or how the first song came about, and then we're going to get to hear it.
Okay. So that first song kind of struck me by surprise. It was April 2022 when I used to sing in a church choir here in Los Angeles at the St. James in Koreatown. I recommend everybody to go there. It is the best choir in the world on this planet. I'm not exaggerating. Nice. And one of the services, I was singing solo, and there was a person that came up to me and was completely struck by, you know, hearing me. Never heard a live voice like that. And we stayed in touch, and that person had a huge effect on my life in many, many, many ways, both good and bad. But a week after I met them, I was reading an article about them that called them a daredevil. And this word, when I read it, it just opened up some channel within me, I guess. And I immediately just downloaded the lyrics. I say downloaded because I really haven't worked on them. They just started, you know, like I was hearing them in my head. And I wrote them down, and I was looking at what I wrote, completely in shock, because I didn't even feel like it was me. And it was almost like a message from above. Mm. It actually, like, when I read the words now, they almost kind of foretold how things are going to develop. But at that time, you know, I repeated those words the next day, and on my drive to work, I heard the melody, then I recorded it on the iPhone, voice memos. When I got home, I immediately got to the piano, started, you know, playing the melody and listening to the chords that showed up, and just kind of wrote the song within 2 days. And it took me a year. A lot has happened since then. It took me a year to actually put it all together and really record it and release it and make a video. All of those things were a completely new process for me. So I was just trying to, you know, do it well.
Well, you did it well. And here is pre-recorded Milena's Gligic song, Daredevil. Yeah.
Daredevil.
Here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
Last night I met a daredevil. He dared to enter my heart. He dared to enter my mind and cast a spell. I didn't see it hit me. I didn't know it could. But the daredevil knew darn well it would. He talked to me so sweetly. Those eyes were full of charms. He told me all the words I love to hear. I wanted to be near him, to be in his loving arms. But he left too soon and disappeared.
And there it is. Thank you, Milena, for sharing that with us. Actually, the video is great, and it's on the Life Changes Show page. You can find it there, along with lots of links for Milena Gligic. And You can find her on Instagram. Her last name is G, spelled G-L-I-G-I-C, but on Instagram it's G-L-I-G-A-C.
Yeah, that is my nickname.
Oh, that's your nickname. How do you say that?
Gligats. That's how my friends call me back home.
Okay. I was wondering. Well, if that's confusing, find the links and web pages and YouTube channel on the Life Changes Show page for Milena. So, Milena, that story that you shared earlier about the woman that was inviting you to pick an instrument and mm-hmm. was your very first instrumental teacher. There's another piece to that story I would love for you to share.
Yes, yes. So later on, when the social media started, I actually looked for her. Her name is Radmila Stojanović Kiriluk, and she's a piano teacher in Arizona. I got in touch with her, and then at some point I was passing through, being on a tour with some ensemble, and I met up with her. That was probably 25 years later, maybe even more.
Wow.
That I've seen her.
And she had come to America also. Interesting.
She came to America immediately 2 months after I met her. So I was a 5-6-year-old kid.
Wow.
So 2 months after I met her, and this, you know, she showed me the instruments, she was already in America afterwards. So,
well, she did her job in Serbia for you, and then she went on to do something else. So,
yes. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So, this next song, mm-hmm. let's set up silence. So, you're going to be singing and playing the piano. Is there any? Oh, I know what we want to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know about you waiting for the download.
Oh, me waiting for the download. Yes. Yes. So it was one night when it was a love pain that I was experiencing and I couldn't sleep. So I told myself, you're going to go to the piano and you're just going to start hitting the keys, you know, and whatever happens, happens. So I picked two keys, started repeating them and repeated them like a crazy person. And then just the rest of the song followed. So that night I wrote the whole tune with the lyrics, and in the morning I had a song. So it was worth not sleeping.
Nice. So the download came and the song is called Silence, but it's not silent. Here is
not silent.
Milena is going to be performing live, right? You all set
yes.
up?
Yes. And this is the very first performance of this song out there. It is not published yet. So,
well, you're a the world first to premiere. Hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very exciting. So Milena Gligic here live on the Life Changes Show with her song world premiere of Silence.
Thank you.
I feel that I have lost my way to your heart. I look, I seek, I turn everywhere, but all I find is silence. And you somewhere alone, you somewhere free, you that gave me life is the reason why I breathe. Just one more day to hear you say we are. If this world falls apart. I feel that I have lost my way to your heart.
Milena. Thank you. Milena Glikic. Oh my gosh. And find her on Instagram at Gligak, GLIGAC. And again, we have our links, her many of her links, and that video for Daredevil at the Life Changes Show page for Milena, MILENA. Milena.
That's so wonderful. Thank you. I'm so glad that that we were able to get you in tonight. And I wanted to thank Melissa Vibronia one more time for connecting us with you.
Thank you. Thank you both, Mark and Filippo, really. It's such an honor.
It's such a pleasure. And I was going to ask you, those notes you were playing at the beginning of the song?
Yes.
Were those the notes?
Those are the notes that I kept repeating.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your songs. How special this has been.
Thank you.
So all the best to you. Look forward to hearing more music from you. With a big thank you to Milena Gligic, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Cheryl A. Page. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.